Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Alrighty, Bats fans, welcome to episode 6 of the Bat Chat podcast. I think it's episode 6. I don't know. It feels like we've been doing these for a while. So episode 7. Thanks, Matt. Sorry. Welcome to episode 7. My name is Andy, and I have with me Nigel Preston and also Matt Buckle. So it's currently midday over here in St. Moritz. Nice sunny weather. I've just finished a track session, and Nigel and Matt, it's kind of looked pretty dark, pretty cold back there in Bendigo. So we're going to be chatting all things Bat news for the last week. Obviously been a big week in AV with Sandown Relays, one of the more famous races on the AV circuit. So we'll chat about how the Bats went there. We'll also chat a little bit about what I've been up to, and then also look ahead to Bundoora Cross Country. So the state champs, one of the biggest races of the year, which I'm really looking forward to following along from here. So Nigel, a big welcome to you.
Welcome. Thanks, Andy. Yes, it is feels like 5.9 here in Bendigo at the moment. So we're a little bit jealous of your Strava and Instagram feed over there, mate. It's good. But good to have Matt on the show as well. Welcome, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Nigel. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Good.
Yeah, so it's, I think at the moment it's 24 degrees in St. Moritz, and it's been sunny every single day. So yeah, been getting around with the shirt off a fair bit, rolling a lot of the Ernie Old singlets, which has been good because I got a lot of their new singlets back when I was in Bendigo, and I couldn't wear them because it was too cold. So it's good. Been wearing a lot of their new range, which is exciting. But so without Brady, we'll see how we go. I think we'll be fine because, Matt, we've got Nige to hold us together here. He's the good one at kind of keeping us on track, hopefully.
We'll be good. That I feel like since I haven't been running so much because I've been injured, I've just been organizing teams. And if anyone else, any of our listeners are involved with organizing teams for AV relays, they'll know just what a juggle it is. And I almost wish, Andy, we only had one team, because now we have 11 teams, and we ended up with 36 runners at Sandown, which was still a great turnout for us, but a lot of people coming off Gold Coast. A lot of people obviously really peak for that Gold Coast race, and so that does affect Sandown, as we chatted about on last episode. And you've got to put your entries in on the Monday before, so that means you're kind of working everything out. And then I think we had 3 athletes get COVID on the week, and so, yeah, big juggle. I took the kit ready to run, but didn't quite get the call up.
It makes me actually slightly miss back in the day when we had one men's team. We may have had a women's team, may not have, and we definitely didn't have any juniors, and it was so much easier. But I suppose it's I don't know, we're really good, and it's really good to have Alice Wilkinson. She really helps out with that women's team, so I don't know, it's probably one thing we can get better at, Nigel. I feel like you do a lot of the heavy lifting, so hopefully next year, as our numbers continue to grow, we can kind of have some captains that might look after the div, all the different divisions and the juniors and all that. But it, I don't know, you're agreeing with me when I say it's good there's only one more relay relay race left for the year.
Oh, mate, I'm thrilled. And I'm so excited now about Bundoora because it's like, just tell me if you need a bus and just make sure we've got enough runners to make the team, like the numbers of athletes per team. So obviously six in the Premier. We need five for our Div 4 team and then four for our Div 7 team in the men's. And then at the women's at the moment, it's only three athletes, but still they can be, you know, fitting different athletes into multiples of three, six, five, four, it starts getting complicated. And then the juniors are three. Yeah, it gets like very complicated, basically. So now it's just like
talking about it.
Come to Bundoora if you can. That's great, please. That's all I need to know. But it was really, really great, wasn't it, Matt, to see the numbers down at Sandown. It just felt like there was blue Bats shirts running through every couple of minutes down there, which was great.
How many was there again? How many athletes?
36, and we had 11 teams. So,
We had around 50 at St. Anne's at Eckerton, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. So a few away with Gold Coast, obviously, or recovering from that. So it's always a bit of a challenge getting around Gold Coast. But I'll start with the under 20 girls. So they've been rolling along really well this season. Phoebe, Tully, and who else was in that lineup?
And Tully.
Tully so and Tully. Tullys. That's why I couldn't remember the other name. But they're sitting second at the moment on the ladder to Geelong, and Geelong have done really well. They've won four out of the five rounds so far, but those girls were second again on the day, but doing really well there. Just part of it is kind of turning up every week, but props to Tully Rowe. She ran St. Anne's, the Eckerton, and she was quite sick. She was quite unwell that week, but she still fronted up because of that teamwork. You know, that team aspect. And I'm not condoning that you should run sick, but she'd kind of been ill that week and rocked up, which was good. And then junior boys under 18, so fourth place and ninth. Obviously, with Harrison running up in Div 1, that takes out a bit of a gun runner out of that under 18s, but they still did really well there to finish fourth and ninth. There was a nice little video that Ave featured, Ave actually, on the Bats.
Insta. That was a good little edit.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the lowest the boys have finished.
Yeah,
out of the five rounds, isn't it? Fourth, they've won every single round. So, It's a good sign if you've got your juniors, especially with those women and boys. Like, it's not like we're just one of those age groups. Both doing really well. So it's I don't know. I know in a few years I'll be having to work pretty hard to keep my spot in Div 1, which is exactly what you want. And I think it's a sign of a good, successful club going in the right direction. So it's good to see those junior teams consistently coming along and getting that really good buy-in, I think, and being part of the team. Like, I know I was chatting to Tully and she really wasn't feeling great ahead of the Eckerton, but she was always going to run because she wanted to help her teammates. And I think that's that selfless act is not something you see in running very often. So it's so good to see. It happened in a relay. So, do you want to chat about our women's? This was a bit of a standout.
So, really standout round here in that we were second in the Div 5 team. And then we debuted Jin McCormick in the Div 4 team. She ran a blinder. I believe she was the ninth fastest women's time of the day. Just looked right at home. I chatted to her before the race. She was fairly nervous, feeling a bit rusty. She said she hasn't run for at least 4 years, maybe 5 years in XCR.
Hasn't raced in XCR.
Yeah. Obviously she's had a baby in that time. So she was like, you know, not sure how it was going to go, basically, I think. And that's, as you would both know, if you've been away from the sport for a little while and not raced, you can train as much as you like, but until you step out and race, it's a completely different thing. So, Jin ran beautifully. Ness anchored that, and then Alice was second runner there, and they dominated that. I'm excited about them. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but Andy, I'm pretty excited about next year for that team when they're up.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, we've got some friends at AV, so, like, surely we can skip Div 3 and just jump straight into Div 2, I reckon, with that team. I'm sure people won't won't complain about that.
They never complain.
No, they don't. But though, like, I don't know, if you have that team there, I think it'd be great for those girls to get, well, ladies to get challenged a little bit. But I don't know, hopefully they'll enjoy, because that women's team really slipped off a few years ago, and it's really building now, and it's good that we can have a div or two teams. And yeah, hopefully, like, it's pretty exciting having Jin around, and I know she was pretty nervous, because she was actually just meant to do a workout, and she was like, oh, I could just do this as the as AV, and she loves getting around the bats, and she actually comes to most Tuesday sessions, and thankfully she's filling in for me at ADP, my day job. So she's it's really good, and she's really involved, and I was chatting to her after Sandown, and she's just like, oh, I just love the team support that that happens with the bats, which is really cool. That it's like, she's running Div 4, like, yeah, she's pretty far down for someone who literally represented Australia a few years ago, but she's still just loving being part of a team. Like, she's not, oh, I have to be up in Div 1, that's where all the fast people run. Here we've got someone who represented Australia and is happy to run Div 4 for the team. So it's awesome. Just
so encouraging, isn't it? You know, she was 16th at the 2018 Comm Games, like 16th. You know, she didn't just run around. She won the Melbourne Marathon in 2016. So, yeah, this is top level sort of athlete here. So it's just really fantastic. But I hope she keeps coming and keeps rolling. And I think that's fantastic. But I think we also got to acknowledge Alice Wilkinson's been like the backbone of that women's team. And she's been corralling runners, but it's been really great to see others come along. Beck Wilkinson's been running. She's got a stressy at the moment, so we hope she gets over that soon. We've got Ingrid, we've got Anna, we've got Ness. Juliet travels all the way from Swan Hill to come and race. You know, like, it's just so cool to see people want to be part of that team. And, you know, as you said, it was really 50 plus, 40 plus for a long time, so it's great to have actually a viable women's team happening now, which is cool. And then in the men's, we did have a 50 plus. They finished 11th. The 40 plus were fourth. Div 7 was second. Because there's a
Sandringham.
Sandringham, that's right.
I think it must be their first year, I think, in AV, and they've just been put in Div 7, and they've got Will Garbalotto, who's probably running top 10 times. And they've also got another pretty handy runner there. So the boys will be shattered, because I know they were enjoying winning Div 7 every week, and now they're getting rolled. So it's going to be a tight one between them and Sandringham. Obviously, we'll still have Div 7 all the way through to Burnley and that, whereas I'm not sure if Sandy will rock up there. So it's going to be a close battle there for that Div 7 championship.
They would basically be leading, but they didn't run the third round at all. So that dropped them out of the picture, and obviously we rocked up and took 11 points. So, that swung it completely. But, yeah, that was so fast. And then Div 4, you know, really strong result. I know the chat on the bus was between Steve Van Rees and the Beast and a few guys in that team. They're like, oh, we're going to win by 7 minutes. We're going to win by 10 minutes. You know, thinking they're going to almost lap the next team. And then it came down to about 2 or 3 minutes in the end, because the competition was still pretty stiff there from Ivanhoe.
And that's Ivanhoe's top team, isn't it? So
it is. Yeah.
You come up against some pretty good runners there. So, but it's, I don't know, it's pretty good that we've got not only our Div 1 team doing well, but also our Div 4 and all that. There's good strength there. So they're undefeated, aren't they, Nige, the Div 4
team? They are. Yep, they're undefeated so far. So we'll just keep that rolling, as is the Div 4 women's team as well. And so they did really well. That was Cookie the Beast ran first, then Jake Delaney. He got the late call up because someone else in the team was sick, so he got swung in there. Matty Heisler's, who's run every round so far, which is great. Steve Van Rees, and then Brian McGinley. And so Jamie and Brian both coming straight off Gold Coast Marathon the week before. So do you want to talk about that a little bit, Andy?
Yeah, it was, I couldn't believe how fast Brian ran. Like, he ran extremely fast, which yeah, a week after a marathon. I know a week after my marathon, I don't think I was running yet. I was still like, it was taking me 10 minutes to walk downstairs and trying to sit down, just my quads were. So, yeah, I don't know. It's an impressive effort, but I just really hope that that Brian isn't getting back into things too quickly, because you need to really, I think, respect the physical demand of training for a marathon, but then also the mental demand. And I know Brian had COVID 2 or 3 weeks before Gold Coast. So maybe that's what's helped him kind of bounce back, because he didn't go in super tired. But yeah, it's definitely like one of these things that's, it's quite hard for us is selecting the team. And because it is so challenging, because it's a 6K it's a 6K road race, sorry. And it's not like we hadn't had an AV race for a little bit, where all of our people that were running Sandown had raced against each other. So it's really hard to try and compare. Mm-hmm. But we all decided that we would go with that, would look at it risk versus reward, and obviously selecting someone like Brian and Jamie both were put in our Div 4 team purely because Brian had done Gold Coast Marathon and Jamie had DNF'd. And it was just too risky to try and put them in, because they, and I know that if I asked them on race day, oh, what time do you think you're going to run? They would probably say, oh, I'm not really too sure. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel. And obviously would.
Yeah. I remember talking to Brian McGinley before the race, and he was like talking about his DOMS all week, and like he was a bit nervous as well. And then he comes out and just has a perler. Like, that's the risk versus reward.
Yeah, exactly. And that's him in Div 4, where there's not much pressure. Like, imagine being put into Div 1, where there's actually there is a lot of pressure. And I know a lot of the boys had a lot of pressure on them this round. And that's the thing. We're okay with getting second, because we don't need to win every round. But if someone has a stinker and they literally have to walk it in or something like that, and you come last, like, that's really hard to recover from. So it's
So far, like, so close behind with like half the season to go, I reckon that could cost us like big time.
Yes.
Plus, four to get the win is a plus for us as well. Like, they'll be going to Div 3, hopefully.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So it is challenging. Like, it's very hard to get that top six 100%. And it's not like we're not machines, so you never know what someone's going to run on the day. But it's been really good. Most of the people part of the Bats have said, oh, yep, that's fair. I'm happy to run there. That's no stress at all. Like, I know Brian for sure, he would be like, yep, 100%, no pressure. I actually want to run in Div 4, because he doesn't know what he's gonna produce. And I think it's I'm really proud of the culture that's developed, especially in that Div 1 team, where nearly everyone in the team is happy to do what they think is best for the team. Like, sure, everyone likes being in that winning team or the team that gets second or whatever. But I think nearly everyone has been willing to do what they think is best for the team, which is really important. And I don't know. I think we're getting a little bit of that tall poppy syndrome, where because we've been doing things a little bit differently, we have little race day tats, we have a podcast, we get Jeff Williams to write up a few stories on Instagram, and we're really trying to build a team. I think some people get a bit jealous of that and really try to bring us down. So I think I don't know what's going on in Geelong, but obviously they don't have much going on, where they have to try and pick on us a little bit and bring us back down to their level. So I think they need to find a few more hobbies to do, because it just feels like, I know, be that tall poppy syndrome, which happens a fair bit in Australia. But I'm really, I don't know, really proud of everyone in Div 1 that ran on Saturday. It's a lot of pressure on. And I know Glenn McMillan, I saw a video of just after he finished, and he's apologising to the boys. And I'm like, Glenn, what are you doing? You don't need to apologise. Like, we're stoked to have you here. And we came second. So, like, yeah, that's a really good result. But I don't know, Matt, you're the one here that actually, there's three of us here and two of us didn't actually even race on race day. So do you want to tell us a bit about your race? This was your first Sandown race in an open team. Do you want to tell us a bit about your experience?
Yeah, well, last time it was very windy, and like the other week it was actually not too bad. Going into the race, I was probably the most nervous I've been all year, just in terms of getting like first a medal. And I don't know, it was just like very good out there because we had, it was like Gels Park, like spectator friendly all around the course. And except this time we're getting hunted, where last time at Gels, it was you hunting down, who was it, Nathan Pierce.
Yeah.
So it was a lot more pressure. Yeah. But I reckon it was still good to come away with second, just because it was a tough ask.
Yep. How about your race? Tell us about how you found two laps. What do you think of the course? All that kind of stuff.
Well, after the 12K at Cruden, I felt pretty good. And, like, coming off Gold Coast 10K, so 6K wasn't too long for me. I was just more concerned with like, H, the junior, coming up.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Really cool. What leg did you run?
I ran second.
Second. Okay, which I so...
Because Brady was usually second.
Yep.
Yeah, so you took over from you took.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Over from Nathan, you were a little bit behind the leader, weren't you?
Yeah, I think it was Glenn Huntley in front of us, I think. You might know Nigel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think Logan Janeski came in first for Glenn Huntley Jr.
Okay, yeah. And then I think I was like 10, 15 seconds behind. And about 2K in, I remember seeing Brady, and he was just like, you've got to get on him. And I was with two other blokes at the time, so I had to drop them. And as soon as I got up to the Glenn Huntley bloke, he just died. So from about 2.5K, I was just solo for the rest of the way. But I think I did put in a few more seconds on second and third.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting relays because depending on who's around you, it can really affect your race because, like, say, we look at Nathan, he obviously had people around him because he was at the start. And then sounds like you, Matt, you had someone in front of you and you chased hard to catch them and then they just died. So you were kind of running by yourself. And then Brady was obviously running by himself, which was quite challenging. And then we had Harry, and he actually had Sticks Kernahan. Yep. So he had him to run with, which I know would have really helped him as well. And then Glenn was out there by himself and obviously was constantly knowing Andre was chasing him. So I think it just goes to show that during relays, it's leg times can really be different depending on how your leg plays out. And if you're running first, it's generally going to be quicker. And then depending on who's around you from there on, it's it really depends. And that's one thing I like about relays is it's more so how you performed versus how your time was. And if you did well for the team and if you caught someone or if you maintained the lead or something like that. That's what people talk about compared to like, oh, what was your time at the end of the day? So, which you don't get that in running at all because normally it's so time based. So,
there were four of us boys from Bendigo who ran sub 19, and then you look at Box Hill and it was like a lot were over 19, and then it's just crazy how Andre Waring had such a good leg that brought him back to win by over 30 seconds.
Yeah, credit to him there. That was a I woke up early and I was FaceTiming you, Matt, and then also Ned a lot. And you boys were getting worried and you were showing me the live feed of him catching. I'm like, oh, he looks pretty good. But I don't know. I think so. Yeah, what we finished second by, do you know what the time gap was in the end there, Nigel?
38 seconds or so. And, huge run from Glenn. Huge run from Andre. But because Andre was a minute 37 behind at that change, and he just ran fastest time of the day, I think, about 30 seconds clear of the next athlete.
Second fastest would have been, was it Logan Janeski?
Yeah, it was. Which actually, that's a bit, it's not really that much depth there. Like, I know Logan's a good runner, but he's only just broken 30, It's not, but obviously coming off Gold Coast, the depth was going to be a bit low. But yeah, massive run by Andre there. So, yep. But I think, you go, Nige.
We sort of knew going in, like, Andre's going to run really well. He's been, second and third to you for the whole series of XCR. So he's going to run well when he turns up. And so we're thinking, all right, we probably need a minute and a half. We probably need 2 minutes on Andre here. So people just eked out, all the athletes kind of eked out that gap really well. I think, as you mentioned before, like, Harrison getting on the back of Kerners was just fantastic opportunity. And I think if Harry had run by himself, he wouldn't have run that fast, I don't think. And he probably admitted it much afterwards, Matt. That opportunity just worked for him. So, whereas Glenn's got to go out and just pace, just try to run as hard as he can, like hunted for the finale. Mm. So,
yeah, exactly. But with the ladders, we're still sitting pretty clear on top. And Nigel, do you know the gap off the top of your head? Is it 10 or 8?
Yeah, I think it's 12. Let me check that. 12. I know as well. Yes, 12. The good thing as well is that we did gain a point on St. Stephen's Harriers. We gained 2 points on Western A's, and we gained 4 on Glen Huntley. So whilst we lost 2 to Box Hill, we actually did gain those. And I remember, I think 3 years ago, we got to Sandown and we finished 6th or 7th or something, because we just had a shocker. Like, all of our good athletes were away at Gold Coast. So I was nervous as a bit of the team manager guy of coming in going, oh, we're going to finish with a 6th or a 7th here, and this could be season going backwards. But the boys pulled through, did really well. Yeah.
With the second
with
the second place on the day, I was not disappointed. I was just like, would have been obviously more happy with a gold. But I just like took 2 steps back and I was like, this time last year, we weren't Div 1 and we'd never won a Premier medal. So that's what made me feel a lot better about the second.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, you, Matt, you haven't been around the AV circuit for very long, whereas like when Brady and I chat, we're like, second's awesome. Like, because we know for so long we were nowhere near the podium and nowhere near Div 1. And if we're disappointed with second, like, it's just kind of like, let's just take a step back, let's look how far we've kind of come. And I think seconds it's still an awesome result, so it's something we can be really proud of. But looking ahead, so we've got a week off, which it feels like we haven't had a week off for a while, because it's kind of been with Gold Coast in there and all that kind of stuff. But we've got Bundoora coming up the following weekend. So, Nige, do you know much about how the team's looking there? Have you sussed out that?
Yeah, shaping up pretty well. Word on the street is that Archie Reid making comeback with from Achilles tendonitis. So he's back. He's just had a cold as well. Feels like every person in Australia has had a cold. So he'll be back, which is good. Brady's on board. Nate Stoats on board, the Bryans are both on board, so looking good. Glenn McMillan's on as well, so I think we'll have probably our top 9 in there as well. And Matt, are you lining up in the spikes, mate?
Yeah, sure. Bundoora,
yep.
Have we heard from the Beast? Has he committed, or we're not sure yet where he's lying?
Not sure where he's at, but that would be a very handy addition to the team. I think he'd go well over 10K up and over the hills there of Bundoora.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously teams are going to look a bit different for Bundoora, because the thing you've got to remember is it's it's the state championship. So for all the juniors, they have to run their age group if they wish to compete at nationals, which is a pretty big goal for a lot of the juniors. So, yeah, luckily we haven't, yes, we've had some juniors running for us, but we haven't really depended on over the longer stuff. So I think we will, that won't really change our Div 1 team too much. And I think we'll have, like, I know Tully's been getting a few medals. And then obviously Jaden and Harry have been sharing first and second with Logan pretty close behind. So it's going to be a pretty exciting, exciting race for us with our open men and women, but then also our juniors chasing some state titles. So if you had to guess, Nige, put you on the spot here, how many winners do you reckon we'll have?
Oh, race winners, do you think? Oh, good question. Maybe
as well four. As well as age group,
Possibly four?
Four.
Maybe three.
Yeah, I'm going to go with two.
Two. What? Who are the two?
Not sure the second, but definitely Harry or Jaden.
Yeah. Chelsea Tickle's one to look out for as well. She could be going okay. I'm not sure where Tully's at. I'm not sure if she's going to run just because she's still struggling to kind of kick this bit of a cold she's had. But, yeah, and that's the thing. You can't sleep on Logan either. He's even though he's a year younger, he keeps those older boys pretty pretty honest. And then Phoebe Lonsdale, another one to look out for. Obviously, we've got Angus McAfee. He'll be there in the Bats tee, which is always very exciting. So it's gonna be a good round. And I know Nigel, you're excited because you just tell me if you're coming. I'll book a seat on the bus and I'll see you down there, kind of thing, which is great.
That's great. And Bundoora is the course that everyone thinks of when they think of cross country in Victoria, in all its shapes and sizes. And I know the course has varied a little bit. I think I first went there in like 1994. I'm showing my age to watch my brother run around in one of the state championships back then. And it's just always been just that carnage of the start at Bundoora. Running up a hill, you know, I'm just about to break into a Kate Bush song there, but like it's just full on. And when people think, oh yeah, I've done cross country at Bundoora, it just has that thing about it. And mind you, by the second lap or third lap going up that hill, you're not really loving life that much, but it should be really good. I'm hoping we get a few people back as well from Gold Coast. So I know Shepsky's likely to come back, Rory, Chris Armstrong, Nick McDermott, some of those guys who haven't been in the bigger, broader bat side for a while, they're looking to come back post Gold Coast, so that should be really good. But mate, we should talk. I want to talk about you, Andy. What do you reckon, Matt? Have we got some questions for the man?
Yeah, I reckon. I want to ask, what's it like compared to Falls Creek over there?
Yeah. Good question. So it's very different. So like Falls Creek, you're kind of at about 1,600 meters above sea level at the village, whereas here I'm about 1,800. So you're a fair bit higher, and you kind of actually forget you're at altitude because there's mountains around you that are kind of like 3,000 odd meters. You kind of think that's altitude, and you think you're just in the valley. Whereas it's very nice. So many different spots to run. There's a track up here. There's a nice lake where you can do the threshold stuff. We did some stuff at the airport the other day. So it's going to be very hard going back to Falls Creek because I normally love Falls Creek and think it's such a good training spot. Whereas, in every way possible, St. Moritz is better. So it's apart from how much a coffee costs, that's the only bad thing about St. Moritz is it's very expensive and pretty crap coffee. But it's... it really doesn't compare to Falls because it is quite a fair bit higher and there's just so many more resources around. So it's, it's good fun.
Sounds good. And what's been your favourite session you've done there so far, Andy?
Yeah, so I've done three. So I did my third one this morning. Probably my favourite one so far is I did a bit of a marathon workout out at the airport, which was 6K, 2K, 2K. And I quite like that. I did some 800s this morning, which were a fair bit harder just because the increase in intensity, I wasn't quite used to that at altitude. It's really important just to go to effort rather than pace, because I reckon if you're doing 10 by 400, you're probably going to run them probably 2 or 3 seconds slower than what you would down at sea level. So it's just really important to make that adjustment. But yeah, I think that that big session, there's an airport a few K away that's just, it's just dead flat, and you're hurting, and then you kind of look up and there's like these snow-capped mountains in the distance, and you're like, oh, this is a bit different to Huntley. So yeah, it's been good.
I saw a video on your Strava with Liam Adams.
Yep.
Who else are you with? Like, are you training as a group or?
Yeah, so it's a bit of an interesting dynamic at the moment, because there is the 5 Aussie Commonwealth Games marathoners here at the moment, being Eloise, Sinead, Jess, Liam, and myself. And within that, there's 3 different coaches. So Eloise and Sinead are both coached by Nick and Collis. And so it's quite funny. We try to work in where possible, but we're not all doing the same thing. But I've kind of made a bit of a conscious effort to run with the group most days, just because it's a bit more social, and because I'm kind of staying in an apartment by myself. So most days I'm with someone, and it's been really good. Like Collis is up here on the bike, so he kind of keeps you company. And then there's also a Vish who works for the VIS, so he's up here as well. He's a sports scientist, so he's kind of taking lactate, that kind of stuff, and keeps you company. Then we've also got an osteopath that's just come up, and which I've got to get to soon. So it's really good, and it actually feels like there's a bit of a team culture amongst us. But then we also have like Izzy Bat Doyle, like, and she's not a marathoner, but she's going to Comm Games. So it's quite cool that there is, I still feel like there is definitely a team culture amongst the training group. And even though a lot of us have different coaches, we try to make things work where possible. So yeah, it's quite good. Not doing many solo runs, which is nice.
That's great. So good. And so how far out from the games will you be heading over, Andy?
Yeah, so I am here till the 25th, and then I race on the 30th. So I'll head to Teddington for a few days. I'm not sure how many, because they originally told us we can't enter the village until 48 hours before our event. But now they're saying they want us there a day earlier than that. So it's all changing at the moment, and we need to get PCR tests 10 days out and then 3 days out. And it's actually so good having Collis here, because he deals with a lot of that stuff, because he's, I think, part of his event lead with the marathon. So he's like the marathon coach. So I'd be very lost without him, because he's been helping me out so much, you know, oh, no, you need to do this or you need to do that, or all that kind of stuff. So it's awesome. And like, we've even got these little elite athlete cards up here that get you access to the gym and the cable cars and all that kind of stuff. So it's very cool. And yeah, it's awesome. Very glad I came over here, just to kind of surround myself with the AA team and then all the other runners. So it's good fun.
So good. We're eagerly anticipating what's coming next for you, mate. And just a shout out, we're planning a watch party in Bendigo for you, because now you've actually told us what time it was going to be, which is great, because it's going to be 6 p.m. Australian, I think, or Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane time, which is good, because initially I thought it was going to be at 1 a.m. and over here. And so we're trying to work out how are we going to stay up till 3 a.m. to watch you.
Yeah. So I actually just found out the other day what time it starts. And I'm quite lucky. I'm at 9 a.m. and the girls are actually at 10:30. And it's I think Birmingham the other day was 30 degrees. So it's one thing just be cautious of. And I'm quite happy over here. It's quite warm, so we're kind of getting used to that. But 9 a.m. it's, I don't know, that's what time Hamburg started, and it's so good. Like, I'd really struggle with Gold Coast. I think that's a 6 a.m. start, and getting up 3 hours before and eating rice, like, just would not be fun. So it's, it's going to be good.
So good. So good. Well, mate, you have to bolt. Matt, have you got anything else to add?
Predictions for Bundoora?
Ooh.
Yeah, where do you reckon we'll finish?
I just hope top 2, really, after the Sandown.
Yep. Do you reckon? I reckon our team's going to be more suited to Bundoora. than Sandown. I think, I don't know, watch out for Brady. Like, he had a big 5 weeks of racing and I reckon a week off, and I'm picking him to get in the medals, I reckon. What about, and if he's in the medals, that means Nath Stokes not going to be too far away either. So, yeah, I reckon we'll go quite well. I reckon we'll win. And I think you'll have a big run as well, Matt. And then I think our fourth, fifth and sixth runners will be not that far behind. So I reckon we'll win, and Brady for the medals for me.
No pressure. No pressure. But hey, what, we've got to aim high, right? We've got to aim.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it all makes sense. And it's all about rolling out and doing it on the day. And as we've said a few times, it's about that fourth, fifth, sixth runner. And if those fourth, fifth, sixth runners can be really strong, and if your Archies, your Steve Van Rees, your Glenn and the Beast, if they can take points off some of those Box Hill runners and Glenn Huntley runners and St. Stephen's runners, then really sets us up. So it's important. It's a team game, isn't it? So
yeah, I'm very excited. I'm not even running, so I'll be my heart rate will be up on the Saturday morning, and I'll wake up early and I'll rely on some updates from Ned. I'm guessing he's going down, so it's I'm excited. Are you planning on running, Nigel? Or
yeah, I am. Yep, just getting over a long hip injury, so I'll be getting around. I'm not going to be in the medals, but I'll be out there, which is good.
Ditch that clipboard for once.
That's right. Can be done. So good.
Yeah, perfect. All right, I've got to get to a massage, boys, but thank you for giving up some of your, what is it, Friday night?
Sure is.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Lovely. All right, thanks, boys. We'll catch up again in a few weeks'
thanks
time.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Good.
See you. Come on.
See you. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.